This is Alex Medford from Denver, Colorado, coming to you from sunny Maui, Hawaii, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, hockey fans from around the world. I am Richard Cote, the producer of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. It is the second line edition of the podcast, and you know what that means. Yes, we are finally all back and reunited, and it feels so good. We are bringing back the publisher of ProHockeyNews.com, Lou Lafredo. Lou, how was Billy Idol?
Billy Idol was a rebel yell.
Okay.
So any Billy Idol fan will catch that reference.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And we had a white wedding at the end. That was the encore performance. And I've never been a big fan of the Moni Moni song,
his version of it. But in live,
it was absolutely killer. Absolutely killer. It was a great, great rendition. So yeah, that's my Billy Idol report.
That's fantastic.
By the way, he's my age.
Oh no.
And still performing. And
still doing it. Oh, I looked at it. I was like, wow, I looked it up or asked Amazon on the way home the year of his birth. And sure enough.
Huh. All right.
Made me feel old.
I thought it would make you feel young knowing that you know, he is still.
I could never do what he's doing, jumping up and down on the stage and doing all of that stuff. He was brilliant. So, yeah, thanks.
All right. Listeners, we are also joined by our favorite snarky Canadian, Jacob Doherty. Jacob, how are the what's going on in Edmonton these days?
We're not on fire.
It's
just good.
Great to hear. Are you playing hockey?
We don't talk about that.
Wow. Someone is poking the bear.
Forgot I don't have a camera. You guys can't see me. Okay.
Yeah.
Listeners, this episode of the Pro Hockey News Podcast is brought to you by My Custom Sports Chair. Head over to mycustomsportschair.com. Enter in code PHN15 for 15% off your purchase. Get yourself a nice, sweet lounging chair for the Stanley Cup Finals, the Kelly Cup Finals, or the Calder Cup. Whichever you prefer to watch, we will be covering them all on ProHockeyNews.com and here on this podcast. Listeners, and Lou and Jacob, I know you can't see, I can't get my camera to work this week, but I am back in Studio 1A. We have finally fixed the flooding issue. So far, no mold. So far, so good. We have everything dried out. It smells almost back to normal down here. And the studio is slightly rearranged. It's not remodeled, but it's slightly rearranged into something that works a little bit better. One day I'm going to get a video tour of this studio to post online. But until then, I'm trying to paint you a word with pictures, and I'm failing miserably at that. But that is the update from Studio 1A. We are back in business. We are on the air. The on-air sign did make it to Adam's pleasure. So we are back. We are broadcasting. We are live to tape. All the great things. Okay. So let's go on to the minor leagues. We have some action going on in the ECHL. We are all set up for the Kelly Cup playoffs. The Kelly Cup finals are now set between the Idaho Steelheads and the Florida Everblades. Game one is on Saturday, June 3rd at 7:10 Mountain Time or 9:10 Eastern Time, however you choose to view the world. Lou.
Yes.
I want to get your predictions on this matchup because I am really excited about this one. Idaho was one that looked like they were on the ropes. They pretty much were on the ropes in the very first round, then just turned it on. Florida, you know, slow and steady through the playoffs here, six games, 4-2 wins for them. What is your prediction for the 2023 Kelly Cup Finals?
Wow. This is really difficult. The Everblades, this is going to be their sixth appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most, that's tied for the most in ECHL history with, of all teams, the South Carolina Stingrays.
Ooh, yeah.
So both of them have appeared six times. For either team, the Steelheads or the Everblades, whoever wins, for them it will be their third ECHL title. The Steelheads have appeared four times, so you really can't say much about the management or organizational history going into this, as one having more experience over the other. You know, at this rate, two games is not, you know, two appearances for one or the other is not that big a deal. I have a feeling that this is going to go to the Steelheads. It's difficult, I think, to really put a number on the percentage, but I'll give it a shot. Say 60-40, that it's the Steelheads.
How many games?
Six.
All right.
I'm going to give it six.
That's great. I mean, neither one of these teams has played in a series that has gone seven games. In fact, I think we've only had one seven-game series in the playoffs so far this season, and that was between right. Cincinnati and Fort Wayne.
Correct.
The Everblades, they've gone six games in every single one of their series. So I think if it goes six games, that favors the Everblades
right.
The longer it goes. But kind of interesting, just looking at the last two series that these teams have played in, Idaho – winners of their first two games in those series, also Florida winners of their first two games in those series. So, you know, very even match here. It's going to be interesting to see how these first two games play out, if it's going to be a split or if somebody's going to take a commanding lead in this series. Mm-hmm. You know, Idaho is going to be has the home ice advantage. So first two games will be in Idaho before heading out to Florida for games three and four. I think it's going to go Idaho. I think it's going five games.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be crucial for game one. I wouldn't put it past Idaho to win four straight after losing game one. They've shown that they can win four straight after being down 2-0.
Right.
I mean, Florida's a tough team. They've played tough all season long. They're a perennial powerhouse in the Kelly Cup playoffs. I'm gonna stick with my pick here. Idaho, five games.
All right, I'm good with that. They're, you know, neither team has. There are no real statistical differences between the two of them.
Oh, no.
I was looking over the goalies earlier today, and it's incredibly close on save percentages. Cam Johnson with Florida has got a save percentage of .919, and his goals against average is 2.15. He's played every minute in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adam Scheel has 2.52 goals against average, and has played every minute except 10 minutes in the postseason so far. And his save percentage is 0.915. So these two guys are just, you know, they're the backbone, I think, of these two teams. And I don't know that you can shake either one of them. They've had they'll both come into the series, into the final with enough rest, I think, to entertain everybody.
Yeah. Definitely an exciting matchup there in the ECHL. Let's take a look at what's going on in the AHL and the Calder Cup playoffs there. We are not quite set for the Calder Cup final. We are still waiting on the two conference finals to wrap up. One could wrap up Friday night, the Eastern Conference Finals. The Hershey Bears lead that series 3-2 against the Rochester Americans. Game 6 is going to happen on Friday, June 2nd. And then we have the Western Conference Finals, where the Coachella Valley Firebirds are up 2-1 on the Milwaukee Admirals. Game 4 is going to be going on tonight, as we record this on Thursday, June 1st at 7 p.m. I want to just hone in on the Eastern Conference Finals here for a second, because this one, obviously, you know, they're a couple of games ahead. Hershey could close it out tomorrow night, but Rochester showing a little bit of life there in Game 5. It feels like it's a tale of two teams here with the Americans, you know, in this series. They win Game 1, 5-1. They go on to lose the next three, you know, only scoring, what, four goals in three games. And then they come back, win 4-1 in Game 5. So I've been just trying to look at some of the stats. You know, I know Game 1, there were a few penalties, but nobody really took advantage on the power play. It's just, I don't know what team we're going to see out of Rochester coming into Game 6. Lou, your thoughts about Game 6?
Rochester has had a really good regular season. I think their run through the playoffs into the Eastern Conference Final was also not easy, but you sort of got the feeling they were going to win each series. Mm-hmm. Not overwhelmingly, but they managed to get there. I think that 4-1 win, particularly coming on the road, is probably enough to get them to a Game 7, because they are back home tomorrow night against the Bears. And so I just see them pushing this to a Game 7 at least. And if they do that, I don't know, going back to, they'd be back home. No. They'd be heading to Hershey. I think Game 7 is then a toss up, but I do see them getting back to Game 7.
You know, it seems like home ice, especially in this series, has not been too kind to Rochester Americans. I mean, they haven't won it. Or I guess they won game one, or sorry, I'm looking at the wrong stat there. They haven't won a single home game in this series. So that's kind of hindered them a little bit. I know they had the sweep against the Marlies in the North Division Finals. They had a little bit of a close battle with the Syracuse Crunch in the semifinals. I don't know, what to think about Game 6 coming up, just knowing that Hershey has played so well on the road in this series. They scored, four goals in each game, in Rochester. So they're going to need to be getting some help from their goaltending there. And we know they have the capability to do it. They got Malcolm Subban in the net during the playoffs. He's, 2.68 goals against average. Not bad. And a 915 save percentage. You probably want that a little bit higher if you're thinking about pushing the Game 7, but the way to get those numbers higher is to play a really good game. Yeah. And the counterpart that he's facing with Hunter Shepard, he's having a pretty phenomenal postseason here, a 2.01 goals against average, 924 save percentage.
Nice.
So, he's had a lot of really good games. The games they've lost in this series have been two goals or less. That Rochester has lost has been two goals or less. So, they have the personnel to be able to pull off and push to a Game 7. I think for sure if it goes Game 7, definitely leans towards Rochester. They'll be on the road in Hershey, where they've been able to win in this series. I think Game 6 tomorrow night, true test for Rochester. Obviously, Hershey wins, they wrap it up. Right. But let's talk about the game going on tonight on June 1st. We have Game 4 between the Firebirds and the Admirals. Lou, your thoughts on this game?
Coachella took the first two games on home ice. So they took a 2-0 lead heading into Milwaukee. They lost in Milwaukee on Monday night. So they're picking up. The schedules are so odd in the minors. when you don't own your own building, this is what happens.
Right.
So Milwaukee is really needs the game tonight to win, to even up the series. They don't. I really don't think they want to head back to Coachella Valley, and it is. God, it just, the name, the town just escaped me. Sorry. But I don't think they want to head back down 3-1. The Firebirds have been very good at home and have been playing very well in the postseason. So I think if Milwaukee loses tonight, they lose the series in the gentleman's sweep.
Yeah. Let's see. So the first two games we played at Coachella Valley, which I believe is that Palm Springs?
Palm Springs. Thank you. I kept thinking 29 Palms and that's a Robert Palmer's, Plant song. And I couldn't get it out of my head. So why bother? Yeah. Palm Springs. Thank you.
So they played the first two games there in Palm Springs. They went to Milwaukee for game three. Game four and five are going to be in Milwaukee. Then they're going to go back to Coachella Valley.
Oh, that's
for,
right. It is
five,
that's
for
right.
six and
yeah.
seven.
Yeah, because of the distance. Yeah.
Yeah, it is odd where they're not doing the 2-2, 1-1, and 1 in those finals, but in the Eastern Conference, they're doing it a little bit more traditional there. Yeah. Go figure.
Well, the East is being treated like a bus league.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously a very critical game for Milwaukee. You do want to tie it up.
I would argue that it's more important now. I'm looking at the schedule now and I forgot that, it's a 2-3, 2-3-2. I would argue that it's more important for Coachella to win tonight than it is for Milwaukee.
To avoid giving Milwaukee any momentum? Or?
Absolutely. Going into Saturday's game, tied 2-2, I think would be not catastrophic, but that's an awful lot of pressure to shift over to Coachella 2-2 rather than up 3-1.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, definitely interesting series there. We'll be covering all the minor league action on prohockeynews.com. Head over there, catch all the playoff action, not only in the minor leagues, but also in the NHL, which is where we're going to focus our attention next. And we'll bring in, I wanted to call you Sir Snarks a lot, but I'm just going to call you Jacob. we have some GM news. We have some coaching news. And then we're going to get going on a little bit of a preview of the Stanley Cup final starting on Saturday as well. First, let's update a story that we talked about last week on the first line. Kyle Dubas, he was out for he was out for his GM gig in Toronto. We had heard from the club president about how it kind of all went down. Sounded like, at least from him, that it was somewhat mutual. We knew it really wasn't. But now we have an update. Kyle Dubas, Jacob, where did he end up?
Pittsburgh. He ended up as the president of hockey operations in Pittsburgh.
We were talking about this on the first line last week. It seemed like kind of there was no other place for him to go, and it was going to happen fairly soon. Is that the feeling you kind of got, Jacob?
Oh, every day I was looking on Reddit and it was another rumor of Dubas going to Pittsburgh. everything he does is just like the least kept secret ever. I don't know why.
So coming in as president of hockey operations, we know he's going to be taking over some GM roles until they finalize a new GM in Pittsburgh. Because Hextall, he's out, given the season they had and missing the playoffs. Put yourself in the shoes of Kyle Dubas right now ahead of the draft. What are they going to be looking for going into that? Or how much of how soon do you think they're going to fill that GM role before the draft? Or is Kyle going to have full reins on that?
So Pittsburgh has, I don't know which pick number it actually is, but they have the mid first round pick of theirs this year. They do not have a second round draft pick, and they have the New Jersey Devils' third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they're going to try. They have number 14, the 14th overall selection.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're either going to use that to trade up and get either an NHL ready player or trade down to get an NHL ready player. Because I feel like Kyle Dubas right now wants to use this core with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang to get one more year off, because that's what he can only do right now.
Mm-hmm.
Surely they didn't sign Kyle Dubas to tear down this team, right?
Right. No, they're definitely not in a rebuild mindset in Pittsburgh.
Do you think that's a mistake?
Long term, yeah. It has to be.
I don't know. Like, I have the hardest time trying, like, because like the last 3 years, I have kind of written off Pittsburgh as the aging team where, you know, they haven't replenished, you know, the youthful talent. And they keep proving me wrong. And until last season, they kept consistently making the playoffs. This year, I mean, they were 1 point shy of getting that second wild card. Who knows how it would have gone against Boston. Statistically, it would have gone poorly, but we saw what Florida was able to do. Granted, they have a couple more pieces than what Pittsburgh had. So I think they have enough left in the tank to make another deep push in the playoffs for one more year. But I think this draft is going to be critical for them and the direction they want to go with this club. If they do decide that they want to get one more push for a Stanley Cup, they got to go all in. They, like Jacob said, they have that first round, a third round, fifth, sixth, and 2 7th round picks. You could do a little bit of, wheeling and dealing with that amount of just trade capital for this year. But you also look at next year, they have a first, a second, Vegas's third. They just don't have a fifth round pick. So they got everything but the fifth round. You got a little bit of capital there, and then everything else is good for the 2025. Go ahead.
The concern with that is you have Crosby, who's 35, Malkin, mm-hmm. who's 36,
mm-hmm.
and Letang, who's also 36. This isn't a team where you can wait 2 years.
No, but if you think that you have a shot at winning a Stanley Cup next year, why not go for it? Why not go all in on this? We know that Dubas can sign some pretty good talent. We've seen what he's done in Toronto. I don't know if it's been, you know, the culture in Toronto, the pressures that those players are under just being in Toronto itself, but that team on paper should be producing a whole lot more than they have. And I think the change of scenery, and if he's able to construct this, you know, like a similar talent pool that he has in Toronto, I'm scared to be in the Metropolitan Division right now. But that, I don't know. My gut says they're going to go all in on this, that they feel they have enough for one more cup run, and they're not going to hold back. They're going to put everything into it. That's going to doom them 4 or 5 years down the road, probably. But I think that's what my gut is telling me, is that they are going to go for it. That is why they brought Dubas in, is to make those moves to get them cup ready next year.
Yeah, and You know, they absolutely could, but I just don't see with what capital. It's very hard to get quality players with a reasonable cap hit these days. And they don't have prospects, like a deep prospect pool, or really a prospect pool. It's more of a puddle at this point
right.
to pull from. So, and also they still have to resolve their goaltending, which really kind of sunk them towards the end of the season. And Tristan Jarry is a UFA right now. And it's going to command a lot.
I mean, that also depends. Do you want to bring him back? Like, he was all right this year, but I don't think all right is what they were looking for.
Yeah.
I think they could go out and get better goaltending talent for less money and leave him as a UFA.
Well,
you think they can get a better goaltending talent for $3.5 million a year?
I think they can.
Yeah, if they do, that would be amazing. But right. I don't know if you can. And I think he would, if you were to resign him, I think he would go for a similar amount. Unless he hits the open market.
Right. I think he's going to be asking for more than that 3 point. Yeah. I think he's going to be asking for five.
And you can't give him five.
No, honestly, you can't give him right? five. I don't think he's worth five, but you know, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you're really limited with, the move. I feel like Dubas is a lot more limited, in Pittsburgh here than mm-hmm. he was in Toronto. With Toronto, he had younger players that you can work with. And he also made his big swing with Tavares, with John Tavares at that time. And that's kind of what started limiting his movability, because he was trying to keep that core around. So okay. I'm not as optimistic as you are. But I would be happy to be proven wrong. I always like seeing Crosby letting it up during the playoffs. So we'll see.
Okay. I mean, Lou, your thought, are they going all in, or do you think they're going to throttle it back and plan for the future?
I guess I see it as somewhere in between. Because Jacob, just to reiterate, Crosby is 35 now.
Correct.
So he'll be 36 for the playoffs next year, and the other two guys will be 37.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm hearing? So, you know, if you want to hang your hat, here's my problem. What we all expect is for our teams to hang on to our emotional favorites. And you really ought not to have any emotional attachments to anybody at all. And if they hang on to these three guys, and I get it. You want to ride into the sunset one last time with these three, you're going to lose. And, you know, I nothing against the three of them, but you have to start thinking about moving on. And I think to Jacob's point, you can't wait 2 years. And that's what you're doing, is hoping that the Stanley Cup final in 2 years Pittsburgh would be represented. And I don't think they can do it next year. And if they don't make the hard decisions, they're not going to do it in 2 years either.
I'd also just like to add, they're actually, Crosby and Malkin are turning a year older. So at the start of this upcoming season, Crosby's going to be turning 36, while right. Malkin's 37.
Right.
By September.
So pushing up close to 37 and 38 by the time the Stanley Cup Finals roll around next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know whether to say I applaud an all-in for this season or I think it's foolish. And just because Pittsburgh missed the playoffs 1 year after how many in a row? 17. Why does 17 stick in my head?
Because I believe that's what Detroit had. I think Pittsburgh had a bit less.
Okay.
Since they drafted Crosby, or Malkin, rather. I think that's it.
Yeah, so do you tear the team apart for missing it 1 year? No. But I think you have to, you know, there's an awful lot of sand out of that hourglass right now.
And Lou, you were correct. It was 16 seasons.
16.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was the first miss in 17 seasons. That's why 17 was stuck in my head. That's that's why I'm not a GM. Does this look like a GM's office?
Maybe. We don't know what kind of GM you'd be.
It's a tough question. It's a tough question. You know how I'm a Ranger fan. They lost in the first round this season. As far as I'm concerned, you pull the plug on the hole, you pull the pin and throw it in the locker room.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Jacob is also correct in that their cupboard is bare.
Mm-hmm.
And who is going to, what free agent is going to want to go to Pittsburgh for anything more than money? Because neither one of their goaltenders is up to the task.
No.
Jari had a difficult season, and DeSmith is just not – he's just not a number one. And who's going to be out there as a goalie for free agency?
I was looking at
Quick. Did you say?
I was going to say Swayman.
Oh, Swayman.
Yeah.
Oh, but Swayman's an RFA though.
Yeah.
He's RFA. Yeah.
You know who is a UFA? Probably not exactly the name that people are hoping for, but Antti Raanta from Carolina. He's a UFA. I believe last year his contract was $2 million. He had a 2.23 goals against and a 9.10 save percentage, which is a little bit better than Yari's 2.9 goals against average and 9.09 save percentage during the season.
And also Freddie Anderson's free agent as well.
Yes. Both of them are free agents coming. And Carolina, I think, is going to – you want to talk about a team getting torn apart.
Oh, absolutely.
we're counting that down. It's 5, 4. you know what, Richard? It's such a tough question to answer because you want to keep the core around. They got you all those Stanley Cup rings, and you don't toss them aside, but got to do something.
Yeah, but it seems like that core can still produce. Like, Malkin and Crosby are still going to produce. They were near – Crosby was near 100 points last season. Malkin at 83. Letang at 41 points. They're still able – that core, that trio is still able to produce. Mm. You need to get them a little bit – better support.
Yeah.
And this was one of the only years, actually, I'm pretty sure it's the only year that Malkin and Crosby had a full season together.
Yeah.
So and that's the result, perhaps, maybe while they have plenty of value, perhaps you could shed one of those off to retool for a younger team.
I don't see you breaking up Crosby Malkin.
No. If you're looking for production out of that team, you can't break up that pair. Speaking of leadership changes, we have a little bit going on the coaching carousel. Spencer Carberry, now named the new head coach of the Washington Capitals. Jacob, your thoughts on this move?
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I haven't really followed his career much. And he hasn't been an assistant coach for too long in Toronto. He's only been there for 2 years, I believe. And with the success that Toronto, or lack thereof, that Toronto's had, it could be concerning, but I'm sure they've done their research. He's a bit younger compared to other coaches in the National Hockey League.
Right. So
I think it's a more of a wait and see hire.
Lou, your reaction is this a sign that the Capitals are willing to move forward, like move in a different direction? Are they starting to bring in new personnel? Are they going to abandon Ovechkin when he's trying to do his catch up to Wayne Gretzky's record there?
Answer the last question first. No, I don't think he's there for the remainder of his career. As far as bringing Carberry in, I think it is a new direction. As assistant coach in Toronto, he had an awful lot of talent on the bench that he could observe and help manage in game time, in game conditions. So he's probably a good one to help manage the frontline core of the Caps, including Ovechkin. But what do you want to bet? The reason he's brought in is to help rebuild the Caps with younger stock. Do either of you see his hiring as a foretelling the return of the Caps to the playoffs?
Well, let's look at the team.
You want to talk about an old team?
Yeah. Probably not.
I don't know. Whenever a team makes a coaching change as drastic as this, one who maybe has a couple of years as an assistant coach, unless they see something special out of him that maybe I don't, I feel like they're trying to go in a new direction, and maybe in a season and a half, we're going to see another coach on the bench with a brand new team in front of him. Right. This feels, at least to me, like a very interim hire for the Washington Capitals. I think they're biding their time until they could find just the right person. But I very much could be wrong. Coaches who may not have a lot of NHL experience have gone on to do some great things. Just like at Jared Bednar here in Colorado. Didn't really coach in the NHL until, Colorado panicked after the firing of Patrick Waugh and decided we needed a head coach. Hey, that guy over there looks pretty good. A few seasons later, they win the Stanley Cup. But I don't know. I haven't followed his career as closely either, but how do you follow the career of an assistant coach for like three seasons? So, hopefully they do see something and there is a future for him in Washington. My gut tells me very much interim stopgap, coaching change here for the Capitals. Continuing on the carousel, I know this is a team that you like to cover, Lou, Nashville has announced a new head coach. Who did they end up picking up?
They picked up Andrew Brunette, who was an assistant with the New Jersey Devils this season after being fired by the Florida Panthers. I think this is a good hire. Okay. Got a year staying in the game behind the bench with the Devils. I think it's a good hire for the Preds. I don't know. They're going to have to make an awful lot of changes as well in this off season, see what they can do during free agency and the draft. But I like the pickup.
And, you know, he did play one season for the Nashville Predators back in the heyday in the 98-99 season.
Right.
He did play one season for the team that he now coaches.
Yeah. Good for him. Going
home. I mean, this one feels a little bit more solid, maybe just because he does have some head coaching experience in the league. Yeah. And anytime that happens, I feel like they're there for a little bit longer than, you know, any unknown coming in to take over, especially a powerhouse franchise that may have started to slip. Jacob, your thoughts, Burnett. What direction is this going to take the Predators? Is this a positive, or is this, we're still looking to rebuild for a while?
It really depends. I think he'll get a lot out of whatever's in front of him. I'm actually really surprised that he wasn't a head coach last season, especially after he got the Florida Panthers to the President's Trophy in the latter half of the year. Obviously, criticism is you just inherited a system from Joel Quenneville, and you know, that could be valid criticism, maybe not. But regardless, I think it can't hurt.
Yeah, okay. So, million-dollar question to both of you. Does this turn Nashville into a playoff contender?
That's David Poyle's decision.
Okay.
I don't feel like it's on Andrew Burnett. I think the roster has to change significantly before they are.
Well, you got Barry Trotz there.
Yes, they do.
No. So I would say that they will be a contender.
Okay.
They went through a couple of bad patches during the season. That's what cost them the playoffs. They really weren't obliterated.
No.
But Trotz is the GM, making some decisions out of that seat, and certainly bringing Burnett in is a good decision. Maybe they've got a plan. Hopefully, I'm sure they do. I would, you know, put me down for making the playoffs.
I mean, they only missed the playoffs by 3 points.
Right.
So that's a game and an overtime loss, a win and an overtime loss, and you potentially make the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know. I have a lot of faith in Barry Trotz. As a coach, I don't know what he's going to be like as a GM, but I know the guy knows talent. He right. knows how to utilize talent. So, I am optimistic, cautiously optimistic for the future of the Nashville Predators as they play in the same division as the Avalanche. So, a little worried, but also, you know, very excited to see what happens with that club. All right. Oh, and do we want to talk about a departure in New York?
Sure.
Hello.
So here's the decision that was made, not out of emotional attachment to anyone. It's a purely business marketing decision. You get bounced out of the playoffs after taking a 2-0 series lead on the road. Winning both games by an aggregate of 10-2. And then you can't do more than win one more game. And that was in game 6 to force a 7. And you get shut out for the second time in the season. Sorry, the head coach has to go. There was something wrong. that team did, that the New York Rangers did not respond to anything, any sort of incentive to push this thing. And there are players on that team that I'm now having serious doubts about. But I think in the end that was a good decision. There was apparently a report about Gallant and general manager Chris Drury getting into an altercation. I don't know that it was physical, but there was an altercation between the two of them. And the only responses I really saw of any value coming back as a result of that were that, of course, Gallant got into an altercation with his GM. So that was a concern. But I think there are a number of players on that team that will be playing in different sweaters next season.
So given the potential coaching pool that is out there, do you think they're going to go and try and bring in another former NHL head coach? Or are we going to see something like a Spencer Carberry situation in New York?
A number of NHL coaches currently unemployed have been considered. Hines from Nashville, LaViolette from the Caps, they have been considered. There have been a number of assistant coaches considered as well. The Rangers have been asking for permission to speak with a number of them. Seattle Kraken's assistant coach, I'm sorry, his name is escaping me right now. He has been, Seattle gave them permission to speak with him. You know, one team we have not touched on, really, the Toronto Maple Leafs have a new general manager, and I do believe that Sheldon Keefe will be released from his contract. I think the Rangers would be foolish not to make a play for Keith.
Okay. I mean, that would be a great move for them.
Absolutely. I think it'd be a great move for him as well. Yeah. Gets him out of the Toronto organization. He was the Marlies head coach before stepping in into the Maple Leafs. And I don't see their early exit in the second round as being his fault. I think he has Maple Leafs fans might hate this podcast, but I think the Maple Leafs have been too soft. And, and there's not much that a head coach can do about a soft team.
All right. Well, we'll be keeping eyes on, what transpires there in New York. Let's get moving on to the upcoming series between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers. Jacob, actually, you and I had a conversation about this last time the second line met. We thought that both these conference final series were going to go 7 games. We might have been a little off on that one.
I tried saying you talked me out of it. But I was initially thinking that Dallas-Vegas series wasn't going to go that long.
When have you ever listened to me? You should never do that.
Last time. The one time I did. And I regret it.
Lesson learned, don't listen to me. Except for you listeners, you feel free to listen to me all you want, because we definitely appreciate that. I'm going to start with Jacob here and just go down a little bit of his train of thought here. How do you see this series going? Don't make a pick just yet.
Yeah.
Tell me, what is your feeling going into the series? Who do you feel has the advantage?
See, I don't know, actually. I'm a bit unsure of who I think has the advantage right now, because I think that a lot of these teams have some guys that can get under each other's skin and will get under each other's skin. And on that front, I think Tkachuk has a massive advantage in Florida, because mm-hmm. he's just such a force of nature, these playoffs. And he's one of the key reasons why they're here right now. And Florida is just really, really good at shutting things down and keeping everything out of the front of the net, and just giving their goaltenders a lot of time and space. And Bobrovsky being God this entire playoffs.
Has he found his game or what?
Absolutely.
Man.
So I'm unsure who truly has the advantage, but Bobrovsky. Jeez. he's been carrying this team like Montreal got carried by Carey Price.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. Lou, I want to get your thoughts as well. Like, who do you think has the advantage in this series? I mean, we have Florida who just came off a sweep. Yes, we have the argument of rest versus rust. We have Vegas who, I don't want to say they played a hard series against Dallas, because it felt like that was going Vegas's way, even in the losses. But they had to play two more games to get to the Stanley Cup. Between these two teams, who do you feel has an advantage going into game one?
I believe the advantage goes to the Golden Knights overall. I think their veterans are a bit more polished and experienced than Florida's, and I'm not going to take anything away from Bobrovsky, that he has been lights out in the postseason, clearly. But Aiden Hill has been equally strong. Let's face it, the one thing that I take issue with Vegas is that in the last two periods of most games in this postseason, their offense has disappeared and they've switched to almost a strictly defensive effort. Now, they've been outshot badly in the last two periods. They were even outshot in the final game with Dallas in the final two periods. But they do manage to keep the shots to the outside. As Jacob pointed out, with Florida, they managed to give Hill good vision on the shots that they were giving up, particularly in the third period of game six, so that Hill had an easy time with getting that 6-0 shutout. But my feeling about that is that was Dallas. And I don't know that they can get away with that kind of game plan or game effort against Florida.
Yeah. I've been going back and forth on this one. My gut's telling me that Florida has the advantage, just given, you know, the emotional high they had, you know, coming back from the brink of elimination in the first round, getting past an extremely difficult Bruins team, beating Toronto in the second round. Like, they only seem to be getting better each round that they go. And I know you can't do any better than a sweep, because that's what they had last time. I don't think they can win it in, you know, three games, but they could try. I gotta feel like they're getting tired. I know you had some rest from the sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I just, at some point, this has to wear on you. And those games that they played against Carolina, those were very close games. They were very evenly matched. There were, you know, three overtime games? Games 1, 2, and 4, right? Went overtime?
I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, you got additional hockey. I mean, game one went to quadruple overtime. You got to be getting tired at some point. Vegas, on the other hand, I mean, they've seen their share of overtime games in the postseason as well. But I think to Lou's point, their veterans are kind of used to this. They've been here before. And, I got to tip my cap to them. You know, the Barbashev trade come close to the trade deadline, that has been a big deal for them in the playoffs. I believe he is their fourth. He's tied for third in points on the roster right now with 15 points in 17 games. So he's producing. He's doing well, and I think that was a great pickup for the Golden Knights come the trade deadline. You look at the moves that the Panthers made at the trade deadline, they didn't. So my gut tells me advantage Panthers, but this is going to be a really fun series to watch. And I'm seeing all these people on social media, on Twitter, just, you know, talking about how, oh, this is the series that, you know, the NHL didn't want. No, this is going to be an exciting series, people. You know, this is going to be one where people are going to want to watch. I might set this as a bonus pick for the picks of the week as a over under for how many overtime games. Oh. I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind here.
Okay.
But yes, this is going to be a great series. People can poo poo it all they want. You know, yes, it's not your traditional hockey markets. Yes, it's not the big markets like LA or New York. Or Edmonton. Miami's not a small media market. I believe they're still top 10. And Vegas, not as big of a media market. But, I mean, the Miami media market, it's not small. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Anyways, I think that's enough about me ranting about the Stanley Cup Final. You know, if you feel inclined to share with us, you could share with us your ideas how you think the Stanley Cup is going to go. You could follow us on Twitter at PHN Podcast, which gets me to our last segment of the episode. Jacob, do we have any picks this week?
So before we do the picks this week, all the minor league talk was going on, I added up our picks over the entire season.
Oh, okay.
We have a winner. And it's you, Richard.
I figured it probably. I need this luck to transfer over to the first line where I'm just getting my behind handed to me. All right, Jacob, take us into our Bet 99 picks of the week.
So we have one game or one series left. And we're going to choose between the Florida Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights. Who's going to win? And in how many games? So, Richard, as the champion,
sorry,
line.
Are we going game one and then who wins the series?
We can do that if you want.
Let's chop this up into three different picks. Let's go.
Okay.
Who wins game one? Who wins the series? And then how many games go to overtime?
Ooh. Sure. Yes, let's do that. Okay, so game one. You're on the clock.
Game one, I think Vegas is going to take game one.
Okay. Who do you got?
I am going to take Vegas as well. Because of, you know, being a little bit closer to game shape. Although at this point, it's probably not a Nets whiskers difference between the days that Florida's had and those that Vegas has had. So what about you, Jacob?
You know, I don't think there's going to be as much rust or that is going to be much of a concern. And okay. Florida has won every game one, I believe. Did they win game one against Boston?
I don't think they did because no. I think they were down 2-1.
I'm going to pretend that they did, and we're going to pick Florida.
Of course you're going to.
Okay.
So now for the finals and who's going to win the Stanley Cup? Richard,
who
do you got?
By the way, Florida and Boston split the first two games in Boston. Boston did win game one, 3-1. I just have to correct that for Jacob.
Don't fact check me.
I am going to fact check you all I want. All right. Who's going to win the series? I want it to be Vegas. I truly do. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go Vegas wins the series.
And in how many games?
Seven games.
Seven games.
I want the maximum hockey.
Lou.
You know, I think the smart money is on Vegas. I've never been called smart. I am going to be a contrarian. I'm going to pick the Panthers. And I say six games.
Okay. So funny enough, Lou, yes. Florida is favored to win.
Oh.
And you want to hear another fun fact?
Yes.
Statistically, most series in the Stanley Cup final go six games.
Oh.
I would assume that's the case in like the Stanley Cup playoffs in general, actually.
Oh, yeah, just, yeah, playoff, yeah. But most series go six games.
My heart's telling me Vegas. And my brain's telling me nothing.
Welcome to my world.
So I'm going to go Vegas in six, because statistically that's the safest bet. And I think it's going to be very close. And it's going to be a great series. It's going to be great to watch some of that hockey. That's it for the – or and oh. Sorry, no, it's not it.
No.
How many overtimes? Lou, I'm going to start with you now.
Two.
Richard.
Now, seeing how I have an 11-point lead on Jacob, I'm going to say all seven games are going to overtime. Every single one.
Actually, should we do this by how many overtime periods there are?
Nah, stick to overtime games.
Fine. I'm going to go one. I think there's going to be one overtime period, but I think a lot of these games are going to be decided by one goal.
All right. Or less.
Well, but wait a minute. We need five. We need five picks.
Yeah, we. Can you come up with two
I've got
more?
One. Okay. Yeah, MVP.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Richard, you go first.
Let's see. MVP. Ooh, much to lose pleasure. It's going to be Jack Eichel.
Wow. No. What? Okay.
He leads the team in playoff points right now.
Okay.
Okay, Larry, who do you got?
I am going to go with Kachuk.
Oh, man, that's an easy one.
I need every easy one I can get. And yourself?
I'm saying Vegas is going to win in six. But if I'm wrong, it's going to be Bobrovsky.
You don't think it's going to be Hill?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so the fifth one.
Mark Stone. I'm going to go Mark Stone.
Oh, there you go. I'm sorry. I thought you picked somebody. Yeah, Mark Stone. That's a good pick.
All right, last pick, Lou. What do we got?
Who's going to score the series winning goal?
Yes.
And you can pick you're going to have to pick from your own team, from your winner.
Yeah.
Okay. Lou, I'm going to start with you.
Anthony Duclair.
Ooh. That's an interesting pick.
He's had a monster season since coming back from the AC, from the Achilles.
Yeah. He really has. Okay, Richard.
Lou, are you ready for this?
Michael.
Bill Kessel.
Oh, no, he hasn't played.
Isn't he played four games in the playoffs?
in the playoffs. Is he on the active roster for the final?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think he's on the active roster.
Well, okay. Give us a second pick just in case. No, I don't want you to have an empty pick.
No, let's leave it at Phil Kessel.
Okay, all right.
Just going to double check to see his last. No, he has not played since Winnipeg series. He is injured. Yep. Please pick another self.
Ah, shucks. All right, I thought he might be back. All right, let's go Pietrangelo.
Ooh.
Okay.
Jacob.
Man, Ivan, for me, I'm really tossing up between Ivan Barbashev and William Karlsson.
Oh, Barbashev. But, he's doing great.
Yeah, but Karlsson was the difference in game six.
Yeah.
And a double.
And also, one of my favorite hockey moments is when Alec Martinez for the LA Kings scored an overtime winning goal to win the Stanley Cup for the LA Kings. That I'm not going to pick him, but he hasn't scored yet in the playoffs. But that's just something I want to mention. I'm going to go with William Karlsson. I think he's going to fly a bit under the radar. So I'm going to go Karlsson. And that's it for the picks of the week. Lou, would you like to finish the outro? Because I forgot it again.
Oh, follow us on Twitter at PHN underscore podcast. We will also be using the hashtag PHN picks for the entire stretch of the Stanley Cup final. Actually, we'll do a different one, Richard. I think what we'll do is pound PHN picks Stanley SCF. That's what it'll be.
All right, you're going to have to send that to me. So,
It'll show up on our Twitter feeds here soon.
Okay. Yeah.
It's isolated from the rest of the season.
The pound sign instead of the hashtag. Thank you, Lou.
It's because I'm old. Give me a break. I'm old.
Okay, I'm going to save that for my parting thought.
Okay.
I almost said shave it for my parting thought. By the way, listeners, if you would like to get a close shave anywhere on your body, you could visit our friends over at Manscaped. You can use the URL manscaped.com/prohockeynews to get 20% off your purchase. Had to sneak that one in there too. All right. Parting thoughts. Jacob, what's on your mind this week?
Well, congratulations to Team Canada for winning gold in the World Championships. I didn't watch a single game because it was hard to watch. And I feel like because the season's coming to a close, I would like to complain about the NHL not making it super easy to watch hockey, especially in the States, because a lot of my American friends rely on me to watch hockey, and it's fairly upsetting, and I wish they didn't. And hockey should be more accessible to watch, especially. And that's it for my parting thought.
You can stream it on TBS.
Oh, yes. Now you can. ESPN has been eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs.
They sure have.
Thankfully.
I like their broadcast. I just, whenever they don't put it on ESPN Plus, I can't see it. Mm. All right, Lou.
I'm going to continue Jacob's little rant as a closing comment. And I think the broadcasts have been just awful. And the between periods commentary from a gaggle of has-beens, never was, and who is that in the middle? I just don't care. I thought the commentary on both networks was just awful. And I have one last complaint, and this is directed at ESPN. Their highlight reels are dreadful. But aside from that, I'm looking forward to the final.
ESPN's not going to be involved, so you don't have to worry about it.
The highlight reels will be so much better. Richard, yours. What's your parting thought?
Well, I'm going to go non-hockey related here, and something that Lou actually just inspired me about, and it happened earlier this morning while I was at work. I was making a phone call and going through the automated messages on who I need to reach, and if I if I knew the extension for somebody, I can hit the pound sign or the hashtag on my phone. And I thought, oh, hold on. Since when have we referred to it as a hashtag on the phone? And then I realize I am now old because I am complaining about the use of the word hashtag versus pound. So, Lou, I have officially joined you in the I'm too old club.
Oh, yeah.
What do I get for my initiation? Because is it like a rocking chair? Is it a cane that I could shake at the kids on my front lawn? Let me know what it is.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from the good folks at my custom sports chair. You know, I drop our chair, our version of their chair into NHL stories. And I've been taking the opportunity to be a little snarky. So not so much a rocking chair, Richard, but an Adirondack chair with your Colorado Avalanche potentially on the back, and sitting out on the front porch yelling at kids to get off the lawn.
I would just like it with the text of get off my lawn.
Yeah, there you go. There we go. Okay, get off the lawn. Yeah. Okay. So when you're not there, it's emblazoned on the back of the chair.
Exactly.
Yes. Welcome to the old timers club. Sucks, by all the way.
Right. Don't get old, Jacob. All right, listeners, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Thank you for making us a part of your routine. We truly appreciate it. Thank you to all of our sponsors, My Custom Sports Chair, the Chicago Wolves merchandise store. You can still use that code PHN15 to get 15% off your purchase there. Thank you to Manscaped and LDE Affinity Jewelry. Thank you to Jacob Doherty and to Lou Lafredo for joining me on the second line of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Listeners, I will see you, and hopefully we will still have some hockey going next week.